You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moreshoreword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moreshoreword.com. That's www.moreshoreword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.
This is number 4 and our last segment of the series we've been calling A Changing of the Season, whereby we are moving from fall to winter as far as spiritually speaking, around the world, the things that are happening on the planet. Last week I shared with you some things about John the Baptist that I thought were pretty good indications that John the Baptizer was a type and shadow or a picture of the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the last thing I shared was, of course, that he was beheaded. And we know that that's going to be the result of many true believers in these last days when the Antichrist actually comes to power and demands worship, that many in the church that are caught will be beheaded. And one of the things that tipped me off that John was something more than just a prophet was the fact that him being beheaded, which pointed me to the end of the age, of course. But what's strange about that is Rome at the time, anybody that wasn't a Roman citizen or that was a criminal, generally they crucified them. And anybody that they beheaded, Rome did behead people, but they only beheaded their own citizens. That's the most humane way to do end someone's life, is by beheading. And yet Rome wasn't involved in this. In either case, it was Herod, the king at the time, and the Hebrews didn't have the occasion to behead anybody. They would stone people. And so it was peculiar that John was beheaded. And that, of course, has led to some of the things that we've looked at in last week and through this particular series, that John is a type and shadow of the true church, and therefore we should pay attention to his life and his message and his work, because we are going to pick up the mantle that John laid down when he died that day and finish out the age. If you have ears to hear, we're going to read in Zechariah chapter 4, and then we're going to read in Revelation chapter 11 just a couple of scriptures that have to do with what we're talking about. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1, "And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold with a bowl upon the top of it, and his 7 lamps thereon, the 7 pipes to the 7 lamps, which are upon the top thereof, and 2 olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof." And in case you don't know, the olive tree provided the olive oil with which they made a lot of things, cooked with, ate, and also provided the oil for the lamps to burn. Verse 4, "So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. By the way, the Lord doesn't mean like Lord Jesus. That word Lord simply means something in respect of sir. It's a term of respect. And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord, capital O, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. So this is the Lord speaking, this word. This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 7, who art thou, O great mountain? That represents trouble and hardship and resistance and those things that would slow us down or stop us. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel, that thou shalt become a plain? And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. When you face your trials and difficulties, you cry out to the Lord, grace, grace. You cry against the mountain, grace, grace, O Lord. And then in a passage, a related passage, of Revelation chapter 11, verse 3 and 4, it says, and I will give power unto my two witnesses. So there we see these two witnesses show up in our day. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days. That is 3.5 years, 42 months, a time, a times, and half a time. That is the great tribulation time period, the last 3.5 years before Jesus comes back. And they, these two witnesses, shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And that is referenced back to Zechariah chapter 4. And that is two passages that if you're inclined to, you can study and consider and think about. And they will give you some added insight. Many believe that the two witnesses will be Elijah and Moses coming to minister during this great time. Others believe that, and also that this is an indication, these two witnesses and the types of ministry, the types of things they say and the types of things they do, these two witnesses are representatives of how members of the church will serve God themselves. Amen. If you and I associate ourselves with the work of the Holy Spirit, when we associate ourselves with anything, it means we participate, we look into it, we join in sometimes. If you and I associate ourselves with the work of the Holy Spirit, as the Lord's return draws closer, that is to say, if we will want and act on what God wants, and shows us by the Spirit to do toward accomplishing these things, we will be blessed above all others that do not associate with the things of God and want what He wants and acts upon what He shares to their hearts. We will be blessed above all those that do not, fellow brothers and sisters, in these last days. If by faith, that is the mindset and the spirit-inspired gumption. You ever heard that word, gumption? It's an older word. Some of our young people probably have no idea what gumption means. It means that tenacity, that ability to jump in there and take action. I was going to say kick butt and take names, but that's probably not appropriate up here, so I won't say that. That's gumption. Jumping in when nobody else will. If by faith, that is the mindset and the spirit-inspired gumption that calleth those things which be not as though they were, through the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. If by faith we believe God and His Word, if we live by faith and not by sight, and step onto a pathway that is hardly visible from our human perspective, by the power and will of God, we will do exploits for His praise and glory. A desire we will want more than to preserve our own lives, to bring God praise and glory, to step out by faith. That picture I gave you, to step onto a pathway that is hardly visible from our human perspective. There is a scene in a movie that I've really enjoyed over the years. And I'll name the movie. It's Indiana Jones, I believe it was The Last Crusade. And he goes to this particular place as he's trying to accomplish something under duress. I mean, he's been stressed to go do this. And he walks to this cliff area. And it's a sheer cliff. And across the cliff, probably about 75 to 100 feet, is the other side that he has to get to. And from here to there, there's nothing there but air. And he stands there and he frets and he repeats the little riddle that he's been using to try and understand the keys to get through all of these dangerous places. But he can't figure this last one out. It's the last part that he needs to do. And he's standing there. I mean, literally, you look down and you're looking down probably 1,000 feet. It's just a giant chasm. And he begins to understand the riddle about stepping out in faith. And he steps back and he takes a handful of dirt and he throws it out into the unknown. He throws it out there where there's nothing there, and it actually lands on something, a trail. And the trail is very cleverly disguised from above, the way it's been painted and prepared. It blends in with everything, so it looks like you're looking down into a 1,000-foot chasm and you're looking over and there's nothing between here and the other side. And yet, what it calls for is a leap of faith to step out. And so he does. He steps out and steps down and he takes his big breath, this sigh of relief that he didn't plummet to his death. And that, for me, speaks so much of the kinds of things that the Lord presents us or puts before us, and either we step out by faith or we don't. And that thing which we desire is lost to us. And so I said, if we live by faith and not by sight, and step onto a pathway that is hardly visible from our human perspective, by the power and will of God, we will do exploits in these last days for His praise and glory. Similar to the priests and Levites who were within or part of the nation of Israel, the Lord is preparing a people within the redeemed that He can use as harvesters, as bold preachers, as ministers and servants, as Spirit-inspired shepherds and leaders and teachers of His ways for those souls that will be brought into the ranks of the redeemed. In other words, not everybody that's a Christian today is going to respond to this call, much like the whole nation of Israel, when they were called out of Egypt, were called, all of them, to be priests. They were to be a nation of priests. And yet, because of their sin and their doubt and their unbelief, as it turned out, only one tribe out of 12 were able to fulfill that calling, and that was the tribe of Levi. And from that was taken the Aaronic priesthood, that family that became the high priest. So you can see there, the Levites and priests were within the tribe. The whole nation had the opportunity to be priests unto God, and yet because of unbelief and doubt and this and that, they disqualified themselves, yet they were still the Israel of God. And in the same way, the Lord in these last days is going to call out everybody, but only a few will respond to the call of God to be everything that He wants of us in these last days, in order that souls will be saved. The saints that I have just defined are today becoming a powerful people of God that have a vision of the returning king and his reign blossoming from inside their being. I can't explain what I have a sense of that's being birthed in me about the return of Jesus and the reign and rule of Jesus Christ. And yet there are others that are having this same sense, this same blossoming in their inner being. And so my sights have been refocused out there rather than right here. As you heard when I started this series, the prophets, and I'm not a prophet, the prophets speak of things to come, even though everything's great now. And then when things fall apart, when things go to hell, the prophets suddenly start speaking about how good things are out there, and people are still concerned about what's going on here. In the same sense, we have shared for years what's been going on and how to get ready and what you should be doing in order to get yourself tough and sharp and ready for what's coming. Now it's time to say, okay, you either did it or you didn't. Now let's look beyond. Jesus is coming soon. And with him, the rule and reign of heaven. And there is a sense within me of great anticipation and expectation and joy for what I see way out there coming this direction. These saints that I've just defined, who are becoming a powerful people of God because of the vision they are starting to catch sight of a returning king, you will begin to recognize them for their joy at his soon return, at the peace that exudes from their voice and their face, and the strange comfort that his or her counsel and message brings. These are ones that see the changing of the season and do not dread it, but see beyond the winter hardships and into the glory of the springtime of the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. This people within the people of God will spurn us forward and be the ones that do not declare, "Behold the Lamb of God," as John the Baptist did. These will declare instead, "Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the great King approaches. Here and there are the signs of his soon arrival." That's what their message, hopefully your message, will be. Let's look at John chapter 1. Starting in verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him." Who? The Word. "And without him was not anything made that was made." So Jesus is the Creator. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Verse 13, "which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spoke. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Verse 19. And this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Esaias. And they which were sent of the Pharisees, and they asked him, said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not the Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you, whom ye know not, he it is, who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. Now, if John the Baptizer is a picture of the true church, made up of members in particular, with some of those members very responsive to the Holy Spirit, since many will not be. I'm not saying they're not saved, I'm just saying because of doubt and unbelief and inexperience and hard-heartedness and things like that, not everybody's going to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in these last days. If that's all true, and we can see the elements of John's life and service that we should see in the true church, then we can learn something of what our work and message is to be by his lifestyle and what his work and his message was, seen in things that are recorded about him. We cannot cover all such things, but we want to note these few things. In the first chapter of Luke, starting in verse 11, and here we have a few things that we should notice about John that we can adopt for our own selves about how we live and what we have to say. Verse 11 of Luke chapter 1, And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense, and when Zacharias saw him, that was John's father, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Verse 15, For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. That word great is the Greek word mega. You know how we use mega vitamin? Mega church, ha ha. Mega this and mega that, it's the word mega. It's actually got an S on the end of it, megas. It's the Greek word megas, meaning big, mighty. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. That shows us that John made choices about his walk and his relationship before God. He didn't want anything at all to get a hold of him, to distract him, to slow him down, to numb his senses. He shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. the thing we see there in John's life that's important. In fact, it's critical for us in these last days, is the few words that said he was filled with the Holy Ghost. That is critical, to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And to be filled with the Holy Ghost is more than just being born again. John was filled with the Holy Ghost. If John is an effective picture of the church, we of the church need to be filled with the Holy Ghost and stay filled. We've ministered many times over the years on that very subject, and it will not go away. The second thing I want to share about, we find in John chapter 1, we just really read it, but I want to go back over it. It was written by the Apostle John about John the Baptist and Jesus, but in its context, we can see some things that are important to us. John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Note this, "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from John, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." And jump to verse 14. "And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So we see the context here of what's being said about Jesus and how John was a messenger of those things. And we come to understand that part of our message is this: to a lost and dying world, to those Christians that have grown cold in the Lord, that have stopped going to church, that have stopped reading their Bible, that have become more children of the world than they are children of God, but to everybody that is not actively serving God and in a relationship with the Lord, this is part of what we need to remind them. Jesus Christ is the Creator, the Light, and God come in the flesh. Now that's a challenge for several people in different ways, depending on how they've been raised and what religious system they've been hooked into. Because nearly no one believes or understands that Jesus is the Creator. They think of God or God the Father or some other thing that they think of as the Creator. But Jesus, the very one that came and clothed Himself in human flesh upon the earth, He did all the creating. And He's the light of the world also. So we know that we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We must understand and count on and share the message that Jesus is the Creator, the Light, and God come in the flesh. We see in Malachi chapter 4, that's the last book in the Old Testament, in verse 1, "For behold, the day cometh," and it's nearly here, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble." If you don't know how that can be, you need to read the book of Revelation to see what happens when the seals are undone, when the trumpets are sounded, and when the vials are poured out. Mankind is like stubble that's easily burned up and destroyed. "Yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts. And it shall leave them neither root nor branch." They have no future. "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts." Verse 4, "Remember ye the law of Moses my servant." which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Again, as I mentioned early on, the two witnesses many believe and teach is Elijah and Moses. We see them standing with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration together. And we expect that they will, their physical presence will manifest in these last days, even if it's just close to the very last day. These are the two witnesses. But part of our work, which is part of their work, is to declare to everybody that will listen, remember ye the law of God. Brother Noel did an excellent teaching this last Tuesday on the law. So many Christians conveniently say, well, we're not under the law, we're under grace. What foolishness to say that and not know what they're talking about. Because here in Malachi, talking about the man that's one of the men that's going to show up here at the very end to reinforce the important message to mankind, and we see in the context there by the Spirit of God saying, remember ye the law of Moses. And so part of our message is going to be, you need to understand what God's laws are and submit to them, or you will end up in hell. God's laws are there to show us the right way, the righteous way, the just way. They're there to reveal our sin to us and show us the way to Jesus. And although we don't have any recorded sermons per se of John the Baptist, you can bet your bottom dollar the things that he had to say were seated in his understanding and study of the law of God himself. The next thing I want to show you is in Matthew chapter 3. These are things about John, who was a foreshadowing of Elijah. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leather girdle around his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. I'd try that, would you? I mean, the wild honey's no big deal.
I like chocolate
locusts. Well, I would try that too, because I'm very fond of chocolate. But I would try, at least one time, locusts and wild honey. Verse 5. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, those were the religious leaders of the time, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, how would you like to show up at some big religious service? You're sitting down there in the first five, six, seven rows, and somebody comes out there and under the anointing of the Spirit of God says, you bunch of snakes! That's what he said. Certainly gets your attention, huh? And if you had the humility to sit there and listen to the message, it would be good for your soul. O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Reminds me of Revelation when The sixth seal is opened and says kings and poor men and rich men and all of these people, they run and hide and say, cover us, O rocks, and in the caves from the wrath of the one that sits on the throne. Reminiscent of this, isn't it? O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? But here is the point, I think, of this passage. Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. Quit messing around with God in your relationship. Get serious, get real about repentance, and let there be fruitfulness as a result of your repentance. Otherwise, you're just a hypocrite. And according to my study, a hypocrite in this culture at Jesus' time, a hypocrite was a fig tree in full blossom of all its leaves with not a single solitary evidence of even one fig. It was a fruitless fig tree. It was called a hypocrite. Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. Let there be seen in your life the evidence that your repentance is real. Because if it's not real, you're playing games and you are lost. There needs to come fruit from repentance. A changing of your ways. You're going to stop cussing. You're going to stop stealing or telling wicked stories or whatever else it is that you do that you know doesn't line up with the Word of God. That would be one sense of fruitfulness because of repentance that is truly genuine. Quit playing games with God. Let there come real change. Sister Mary mentioned it before. When He comes to live inside of you by the Spirit of God, there does come change if it's for real. If it's for real, there will be change. Verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. Pooh, 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 pooh. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. So here, the essence of John's message as he tried to prepare a people for the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, and our message for the same event, just 2,000 years later or so, is this: repent. Turn away from your sins. Be sorry for what you've done, what you've been. Repent and bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. Brother, sister, father, mother, children, nieces and nephews, co-workers, classmates, clerks at the stores, whoever the Lord would so move upon you to share that with. You say, but that's so bold. They might slap me. Or fire me, or whatever. I remember hearing a story many years ago about a minister. He was a pastor. And I don't remember all the details, but I remember the essence of the story, and that was he went to a man's house, and there were two or three, I believe, others with him, like deacons or others that went to the church. And there was an occasion to go to this man's house, and he went in there and they had a discussion, and when it was all said and done, the minister had come to understand that this man that they were there visiting used to be a Christian, used to go to church, and all these other things. And then he fell away. And in the course of this discussion that the minister was having there with this man, the man began to show evidence that he wanted to once again give his life to Jesus. And everybody was sitting around there and anticipating a great time of prayer and refellowshipping with this brother, with this man that would be a brother. And the minister suddenly said something very strange, and it blew their minds. In fact, it offended some of them. He said, there's one thing you need to know. If you're going to give your life to Jesus, you must pay your tithes. And all the people that were with him later on said, why in the world would you say such a thing? I mean, the Holy Spirit had spoken to this pastor's heart and said, this one thing that this guy needs to know. Not that that is the biggest thing that people need to know when they come to Jesus, is that they need to be generous, they need to be givers. And you know, we don't pass the offering plate, we don't talk about it, we just trust the Lord. So I didn't throw this in for that purpose. But he said to this man, if you're going to give your life to Jesus, you need to know, you need to pay your tithes. And it stunned the man. But he said, yes, I understand. You see, he had become so worldly minded. He had become so self-conscious of all his stuff and his possessions, and that he didn't want to share this and he didn't want to do that. And that was the one thing that God was throwing down as the gauntlet before him to say, if you're really serious about God, you need to do this one thing and you need to commit to it now or don't even bother. And the man gave his life to Jesus and became a faithful supporter of the work of God. There needs to come things that are the evidence that you were serious with God and everybody that comes to God. Because so many people today think all they need to do is go to the altar, get down, pray a prayer, and get up, and everything's hunky-dory, and then go back and continue living the way they were, and they've got that fire insurance policy that covers, it's a free pass. You don't go to hell when you die because you prayed that prayer. That's a lie. You need to get up from there and live for Jesus. There needs to be fruit that what you did was real. And sometimes we may need to get real rough with people who are on their way to hell. Do it, of course, with the inspiration and knowledge that the Holy Spirit shares with you or helps you to do, or scriptures gives you to use. But for people in these last days, we may need to be very bold. Because they've heard this message for years. You need to give your life to Jesus or you'll go to hell. Well, that is a fact. But sometimes we just need to frame it in a way that gets their attention. Matthew chapter 11, verse 7, as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? In other words, just some other flash-in-the-pan guy, somebody else that just shows up for a short time and makes a big splash, and then suddenly there's no record of him? But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? We all know what he wore. Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding, or but, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And I will insert this for your benefit. That means that you count. As great as Jesus was, or as John was, Jesus said, he that is least in the kingdom is greater than John. That says, you need to know, you count. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied unto John, and if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. Verse 18, for John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. That doesn't mean he was a wino, and it doesn't mean he was gluttonous. It just means that he had normal meals. He didn't go out and eat locusts and wild honey like John did. For the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified by her children. And here is what I get out of this as far as John's life and his methods are concerned. The Lord's way is not easy, but it leads to life. The Lord's way is not easy, but it leads to life. Someone has said many, many, many years ago, you've heard it probably many times yourself, the Lord never said it would be easy. He only said it would be worth it. Now, that's not in the Bible, but I think there's some degree of wisdom in that statement. The Lord's way is not easy, but it leads to life. We see that in John's life, in John's message, in his behaviors. Matthew chapter 14, verse 1, at that time Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus, and said unto his servants, this is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead. And therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold on John, and bound him, and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. What it pleased was his lustful spirit, if you haven't figured that out. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was sorry. Nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger. A charger is a big silver platter, normally, and given to the damsel. And she brought it to her mother. There will come a time, probably get you arrested, but if the Lord moves upon you to make this, to declare the statement, we need to declare that you have violated God's law and not be ashamed of that statement. Not be intimidated by the people there that need to hear it. You have violated the laws of God. Just like John did to the king of Israel. Not a rightful king, but the king nevertheless. He didn't play favorites. He didn't send him a little sweet message in an envelope that was secretly delivered to him so there'd be no public embarrassment between anybody. He declared there, right out in public, it is not lawful for you to have her. And that got John arrested. Neither John's life nor Elijah's life, for that matter, was a nice walk in the country. Soon ours will not be either, especially if we are about our Father's business. But not to worry, because we belong to God. We have His Spirit and we have His Word. You are probably inclined to argue one of these things. You're probably inclined to argue that you just do not believe that we are at the end of the age. Well, that misconception will take care of itself soon enough. A lot of Christians very soon are going to go, oops! Not only is there not a pre-tribulation rapture, there is not 7 years of great tribulation. They don't know the Word of God. They're going to suddenly find themselves in Great Tribulation, which is the last 3.5 years or so before Jesus comes back, suddenly a man's going to rise up that everybody that has half a brain is going to say, if they know the Bible, that is the Antichrist, and they're going to say, oops! So, for people that would say, I just don't believe that we're there, we're at the end of the age, in very short order, there will be enough evidence for people to say, wow, was I wrong? Hopefully they can play catch up real fast and get to know the Word of God and God Himself, firsthand, intimately. But many will be inclined to argue that, or they'll say that, oh, well, I'm not ready for such an assignment as we've been talking about, to be vocal, to share with others the good news. Some others will say, I'm not strong enough to face that task. I'm too shy. Or that you don't have the spiritual background or the equipping to do the things we've been deployed on the earth to accomplish. Deployed is generally a military term, meaning that the military has been sent to and put in place for an action. We are that military in the army of God. Even if any of those assertions that I've just mentioned, even if any of those assertions are true about you today, they are easily remedied by God for everyone that will be a devoted disciple of the Word and the Holy Spirit, who is God. Besides, your work may be to serve behind the scenes, but to serve nevertheless. Your work may be to serve behind the scenes and mine to speak out publicly. Both are needful duties. Another's part might be to care for the young children, or the elderly, or the infirmed. And still others are needed to guide and direct those that are new to the faith, and some to manage the precious resources needed to live that the Lord provides us day by day. So I'm not saying that we're all going to become John the Baptist and walking up and down the streets of our city or go to other cities and just parade around and prance around and be bold and be vocal and all of us get arrested. Some of us will. But many of us will have ways that God has ordained we serve Him in these last days that you can do. But above all of those things, you really do need to know the Word of God. You need to know God Himself to be as effective as you possibly can be in these last days. An army, even one seriously outnumbered by the enemy, an army has 1,000 different kinds of specialists in order to get the main job done. Sister Modesta has a son in the Army. He's been in the Army for several years now. Loves his job. I've never even heard of what he does. And I spent some time in the Army. I loved my job in the Army too. But he goes into military kitchens, if I understand right, he goes into military kitchens and he's basically the guy with the white glove. You better not have stuff too old in the fridge. You better not have dirt on the floor or a bug crawling around over there on the cabinet. You better not have these things or you're in big trouble. And that's necessary, isn't it? Because what would happen if all of our soldiers come into the mess hall and they all went away and 6 hours later they were all puking their guts out because of the filthiness of the kitchen? We have jobs in the army of the Lord that need to be done. I don't know what yours is, but you have one. Let's be open to the Lord and say, what do you have me to do, Lord? How do I prepare? Let me say that again. An army, even one seriously outnumbered by the enemy. An army has 1,000 different kinds of specialists in order to get the main job done. one chief difference for us, comparing it against today's army, today's physical army, one chief difference for us is that instead of being called a G.I. Joe or a G.I., I don't know, y'all know what a G.I. means? When they call you a G.I., they mean that's short for government issue. G.I., government issue. You belong to the government as long as you're in the military, and they will stick you into whatever circumstance they want to. You are government issue. You belong to them. The difference, the chief difference between us is that instead of being called a G.I. or G.I. Joe, we are called a K.I. John. Kingdom issue, John. Or Josephine. Although we might lose a battle here or there, and we will lose a few, we win the war. I may not be here to see the end of the war. I may come back with the Lord with His army. I don't know. I do know that if I die before He calls me, calls us into the heavens, I belong to Him and we win. I'm not so vain as to say, Lord, please let me live all the way to the end. Say, Lord, I only want to live as long as I'm appointed to. The Lord Jesus planted like seeds. The Lord Jesus planted in His Word for us and to us the insights and encouragement with which we can find guidance and strength in these days. Let me rush, please. Somebody says, oh, thank God. He's going to rush. Hurry, brother, hurry. We can find guidance and strength in these seeds that the Lord has planted us in these last days if we would be so bold as to love souls and stand for truth with both our actions and our words, too. Let me give you some quickly here. Luke 17, verse 20. And when He was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, He answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. It is inside of you. It's already here. It just hasn't completely unified yet under its king physically being upon the planet. The kingdom of God is within you. That means inside. Simply means the kingdom of God is already here inside you. Matthew chapter 12, verse 28, Jesus said, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, which some things you will do, some of you sitting in this room, some that listen to this message, some of us will cast out demons. If I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. It's here. Matthew 5, verse 17, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, that's the law of God, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 10, verse 16, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. You shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, this is so comforting, I hope, for you too. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child. And the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye to another, for verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Acts chapter 1, verse 6, another word of instruction, encouragement, a seed planted for you and I in these last days. When they, the disciples, therefore were come together, they asked of Jesus, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom of it to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. Listen closely why they need power, why God wants them to have power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and in unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And the last scripture I'll share with you, and there were so many more, I had to really pick and choose. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Hebrews 13, 5. Let your conversation, that's your lifestyle, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, if you can do it, put neon around this phrase. Neon is flashing lights, right? You open it up and it just shines right out at you. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Amen. In this study, we were informed or reminded that we are here in these last days by the will of God. The last and greatest effort of God by grace through judgment is to save souls. We are ambassadors of the eternal Creator and Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. By the Spirit and with the written Word of God, we have what we need to carry out our calling to boldly declare the return of the King of Glory and to serve Him until He calls us into the sky. The simple message by any one of us here to anyone out there that will hear is that Jesus is coming soon, and by the end of great trouble, salvation is by grace and through faith in Him alone, and that the heart of God says, turn from your sin and wicked ways and give your life to Jesus Christ today. We have seen in John's life and his message that as the ambassadors of the Lord, we should be mindful to be filled with the Holy Ghost, be mindful to make known that Jesus Christ is Creator God, the light, and God come and coming in the flesh. We must be mindful to in meekness declare to the wicked, you have violated the laws of God. To backsliders we say, remember ye the law of God and repent. And to any that will listen, to bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. We must be mindful to realize for ourselves and to encourage others that the Lord's way is not easy, but it is the only one that leads to eternal life. And through it all, by our words and our actions, we are to be mindful to work to establish in the ears of all the laws and the unfolding order and economy of the coming reign of Yeshua. We'll learn more about what that means one day soon. So, can you walk in the calling to declare and represent such things? You should want to be able to, and by the Word and the Spirit, you can be, and you can be made able to. Daily study of the King James Version Holy Bible is mandatory. And being filled with and staying full of the Holy Spirit of God is critical. Begin this week to think like and talk like the kingdom rule of God is already here. Act like the promoted person you are being prepared to be. Represent the Lord Jesus and His rule and reign to the very best of your expanding ability each day. Father, we thank you for challenging us, even me. Yes, I was challenged. I need to read and study your word more than I do. I need to get to know you better than I do. Help me, Lord, and all those that would feel the same way, Lord, to take the steps that are necessary to do our part to prepare for whatever it is you call us to do in these last days, to be servants of the living God. Lord, because every servant, no matter what his or her role is highly esteemed by God. And in God's economy, whether we are tending to the sick or we are standing on a street corner publicly declaring the Lordship of God, you look at each one of us as, how did you do the job I gave you? Not how important was the job. So in your economy, Lord, the street sweeper gets as much glory and credit as the one that stands on the corner and declares your majesty and gets hauled off to jail. If we've done our jobs respectively to the very best of our ability, that's what pleases you. Lord, we thank you for helping us to be challenged. Help us, Lord, to grow in our relationship with you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.
You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.